Joy.
And I am Grecia. And we are
Basic Brown Nerds.
So today we're going to be talking about mental health, specifically about depression and anxiety, seasonal depression. It's winter. I know it's pretty rough for some people. Me and Grecia in particular. Grecia mentioned some people experience seasonal depression during the summer. But I think we especially experience it during the winter. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to get this podcast out, and just so that we could be creating and focusing and working on improving ourselves rather than letting depression take over.
Yeah, winter can be really, really hard on me, and sometimes my energy just completely drains, so I kind of just, like, go to work and come home and, like, do what I have to do, and then I don't have any energy for anything extra. Like, it's either...
It's like in robot mode.
Yes.
I feel you.
And I had one year where I literally was just, like, getting home, like, at 6:30, and I would eat and then just, like, stay in bed the rest of the night and go to sleep and just, like, do it all over again.
Yeah.
And that was horrible.
I know, like, for me, I try to, like, plan out little goals now. So one of the things that kept me going was knowing I had a trip, right? Not everyone can do that. Like, I know, like, you can't specifically be like, I'm gonna go to the DR.
I know.
How do we cope with, like, little goals that we have for ourselves? I know I get just bummed out, and then you're just going through this motion. It's like, you're literally just going through the motion.
Well, three years ago now was really the first winter that was, like, particularly hard for me. The winter before that, we had an insane amount of work. When I was back to working the regular, like, 9 to 5:30 schedule and getting home at 6:30 is when I felt it. And after that was actually when I started my poetry blog, The Next Hemingway, because I was like, okay, I need to do something that's not work, something that's just, like, feeding my creative energy. I need to do something, and if it's a blog where it's public and, like, maybe a few people read it, then, like, it will push me to do it. And so that's why, like, now every year I try to sort of make a creative goal.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, last year was around the time during last winter that I started, like, my travel blog and stuff like that. Just because, you know, you're keeping focus on at least one thing, you know, that you're just like, okay, like, you start to keep some type of accountability for yourself. But, like, and winter, there's always, like, the holidays and everything that I feel like for myself, I feel like I can't allow myself to, like, get super depressed. Because I'm just like, okay, if I just, like, don't want to crawl out of bed, I'm like, oh, but, like, I have to go buy presents. Or, like, oh, I have to, like, go to, like, a family dinner. Or, like, for me, like, winter is, like, crazy busy season for my work that I'm just like, okay, I have to, like, work. And, like, now that I'm more responsible and, like, higher up, I have more people accountable. But, yeah, then once January comes, like, my, you know, all the holidays are done. And then, like, work is done for me. Like, it's slow season. That's usually when it, like, hits me. Like, everything that I didn't want to deal with kind of catches up.
January, February, they just...
Right.
Because they're the coldest months also.
That too, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, well, this year is the first year that I started taking medication for my depression and anxiety. And I've sort of dealt with it before on my own. But this year, like, kind of, it started last year, probably around, like, October, November, because I was going through, like, some personal stuff, and then winter came, and it made it worse, and then Trump was elected, and it made it worse because of all of the DACA stuff, and then I was like, okay, like, once spring comes, like, I'll bounce back, and then spring came, and then I had a car accident, which also ended up really affecting me emotionally. And then I had to deal with that. So then it kind of like never went away. And I knew that because I was still depressed and, like, winter was coming, I kind of needed to, I know Game of Thrones, right? Winter's coming. Winter is here. Oh my God. But I knew I had to, like, do something to take care of myself because I knew that if I wasn't doing well in October or November, I knew that I was going to be doing even worse than that come January.
It takes about 6 weeks for medication to kick in
too. Yes.
So that's, like, another big part of it. Like, okay, you're not just gonna take a pill and be like, I'm great.
Yeah, it takes, like, a while for you to feel it. Or, like, I mean, for me, I was sort of, like, ambivalent about it. It was sort of weird to, like, think of you know, how depressed I felt, and, like, you kind of have that thing of, like, am I ever gonna feel happy again? Like, is that right. even a thing? And then, like, to think that a pill can make you feel better, I kind of was, right. like, I was, like, that kind of feels too optimistic of me to think that it's actually going to work.
Right.
But then it did. I do feel more like my normal self. And even though it's cold, I do feel the need to be more active.
Yeah. You know, like, I took chemistry. I, like, majored in chemical engineering. So, for me, like, I'm very, like, science-based. But it was still even hard for me to, like, accept that, like, I needed to take medication. Like, because of how I grew up. And we talked about this a little yesterday. Just because it was hard for me to, like, accept that, like, okay, like, yes, this is a chemical imbalance, right? And that I needed to take medication to get me to be, like, balanced and work through my problems and get me to, like, baseline. Like, that's another thing that I always, like, try to stress, that, like, medication just really gets you to, like, the baseline so you can actually deal with yeah. everything going on.
It doesn't right? make your problems go away. It just kind of lets you have a clearer head so that you can deal right. with them.
And it's important, like, if you're taking, especially if you're taking medication, to, like, be talking to your doctors and your therapist. Like, get a therapist.
Yes. Oh, my God. And, like, it's so important to find a therapist that you like, that you mm-hmm. feel comfortable with, somebody that works with what you need at that moment, which, like, it may change. I mean, you may have to change right. therapists at different times because of different reasons. You just have to make sure you find someone that makes you feel comfortable.
Right. You're going to be telling these people, like, stuff that you probably have never told anybody else. You probably should find a new therapist.
And it took me a really long time to finally go to therapy because I kind of felt like, why should I pay a stranger to listen to me
right.
when I have friends that should listen to me? And then at the same time, like, that's very it's an unfair weight to put on our friends because, like, they can listen to us vent. They can be there for us right. when we have a hard time. But at the same time, they're, like, not professionals and they're not trained mm-hmm. to help you deal with, like, an anxiety attack or when you're just, like,
they might not even know what's happening.
Yeah, they might not even realize it, or they may just, it's, like, too much to put on a friendship. And, like,
right. And they might put their own biases on you, you know? Yeah. Like, if they're very, like, anti-medication and, like, maybe you actually do need medication, they might be, like,
yeah, like, you should try yoga. And it's, like, okay, well, maybe I have tried yoga and that hasn't worked for me. Or,
like, for me, it was my last resort because I was, like, okay, like, I understand the chemistry, but, like, I want to try to, like, change my own body chemistry by, like, exercising and doing all these other things. But there's, like, so many hours in a day
yeah.
that you can be, like, you end up getting so tired. And then you're, like, for me, it was really hard to, like, accept that, you know, I suffer from an anxiety disorder. And I think a lot of things is also, like, growing up as a person of color, like, as a child of immigrants, like, dealing with, like, poverty and all of these other outside things, it starts to get to you, you know, like, all these yeah. little traumas that you're just, like, not dealing with, and you're just always in constant chaos and worrying and just waiting for the shoe to drop, that once things get stable and you're just like, wait, I'm doing well, you know, like yeah. I have a job, I graduated, I'm like doing really good in my career, that you're just kind of just like waiting for things to just like explode. Like for me, it was just like the smallest type of things, you know, like I got in a car accident, like a little tiny one, and I was just like, okay, whatever, like just normal shit. And then I lost my eyeliner and I was like, oh my god, the world is falling apart, my eyeliner's missing, I can't deal with life, you know. And like, I realized, I was like, this is completely irrational. Like the rational side of me was just like, this doesn't make sense, you know? But I feel yeah. like, you know, after going to therapy for a while and, like, talking through it, I realized, like, okay, it's more like the control things. Like, you just expect the bad things to happen.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, the little things you can't control that you start to, like, overreact and, like, get really triggered by things. So it's really important to, like, take responsibility and know, like, okay, maybe I need to take medication so that I'm not constantly triggered and can talk to a therapist with, like, actually dealing with my problems and not just being, like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, use this magical pill and I'm gonna be fixed. Because yeah. that's another thing, like, you know, like, it's more like a tool. Like, it's not a cure. It's more just, like, a tool to get you to
and, like, we're not, like, advocating for everyone to take medicine, but I guess, like, we want to talk about it because within the Latino community, like, number one, like, going to therapy is taboo.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Number two, like, saying that you do have a mental illness is taboo, and then, like, if you have a mental illness where you do need help and you're taking medication, that is also taboo. Like, people think that there's other stuff that you can do, but, like, so many of us, like, have been doing that, and that's kind of, like, what I was dealing with in the last year, where before, for a long time, there were certain things that worked for me when it came to fighting my depression, and, you know, I was just diagnosed with anxiety this year, but, like, now I'm realizing that I've had it for so much longer. Like, being an immigrant, I didn't realize how much anxiety I had growing up about my status and, like, my parents and, like, worrying about all these things. Like, can I go to college? And then, like, once I was able to figure out that I could go to college, it was like, how am I going to pay for it? Yeah. Like, what are we going to do?
Just,
like,
navigating that is just anxiety-inducing all on its own.
Or even before actually coming out as undocumented, it was just, like, knowing that I was and, like, not telling people. And then, like, having that moment where I had to tell my guidance counselor, like, hey, like, you're having all of these workshops about, like, applying to college, and I want to go to college, but I don't know, like, I had to explain to him what my situation was, and that was also really nerve-wracking for me, just, like, I carried shame about it for so long, because, like, we went to a predominantly white school, and they were, you know, a number of other immigrants in school, and also just undocumented immigrants, and I actually happened to live in a community where most of the Mexican immigrants here are from the area where I'm from in Mexico, so, like, we all know each other. But it was, like, such a small number of us that, you know, even when I did tell my guidance counselor, and even though he was great with trying to help me find people that could, you know, get me information, it was still, like, he actually didn't even know how to deal with it, because not a lot of other people had said anything to the guidance counselor. Like, they didn't actually have tools prepared for this. Right. Like, he was great in the sense that,
and I'm sure other undocumented people, like, that wanted to go to college didn't even think it would be an option.
Yeah, well, or people don't want to go to college because they grow up thinking it's not an option, and, like, they don't even make it a goal for themselves, you know? And that's also, like, a big harm that we do to these students growing up. Like, they just don't even think of it as an option, and they just, like, they don't even try in school because it's like, what's the point? Like, I'm just gonna graduate and be out of here, and then, like, find a job, and, like, whatever. And so, like, all of those stuff really contributed to it. And then, like, this last year, you know, before that, I was able to deal with it, like, through exercise, or, you know, just finding something creative or constructive to do in my life. But this past year, like, it was so much that I was, like, so exhausted. Like, I'm very good at functioning when I have depression. Like, I still was doing well at my job.
I think people that come from, like, communities of color and just, like, lower socioeconomic levels, like, you have to. Like, you don't have the option to just stay at home, you know? Like, you have to, you go into, like, robot mode.
Yeah, and like, I have a child, and, like, she needs a mother, she needs a parent to be performing all of the tasks that they need, and so I was doing everything that I needed to do, but I had no energy left to actually take care of myself or to do something that I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to hike, but, like, I just couldn't actually make myself go do it. Like, I wanted to run, but I just, like, worrying takes so much, number one, mental space, but number two, physical strength. Like, I have, like, you don't know how much energy worrying takes until, like, all of a sudden, like, so many of those things go away, and you're like, why do I have this energy? And, like, oh my god, it's because I'm not worrying about this. I know, and it's kind of, like, insane, and, like, people don't really think about, I didn't even think about it until I had some of that stress lift.
Right.
That I realized, like, oh, where did this energy come from? And I was like, oh, it's literally because I don't have to think about going to physical therapy anymore. Like, now I have this time to actually maybe have lunch with my coworkers. Because, like, that was, like, a huge thing for me was, like, I was fortunate enough that the physical therapy place was, like, walking distance from my job. But that meant that instead of actually taking a break from work, like, I was just walking and doing that. And the whole time I was doing it, like, I was just, like, thinking of my accident and stuff like that. And then I would have to then go back to work. So it wasn't really a real break for me.
Yeah.
And so then it wasn't until after I was done with it, really, that I was finally able to, like, breathe again. And it was,
right, cause you're just going and going and going and going. You get, like, no break, like you said. Like, in life in general, like, it's so important to just take moments for ourselves that we're just like, okay.
But sometimes we can't. That's like the thing, is like sometimes you reach that point where like you just like need to vent to someone. But you know, some like people are always well meaning and they want to give you advice and they say like, oh well maybe this is what you need to do, or like find like 10 minutes for yourself. But like they don't understand, like you literally either don't have that time, or you, even if you do take 10 minutes, you're still not relaxing because you're still stressing out. Like, sometimes you just, like, have that moment when you're so overwhelmed. It doesn't matter what anyone tells you. Like, you just, like, need to feel overwhelmed. Like, maybe you just, like, need to cry.
Right.
And then, like, kind of, like, let go of that feeling so that maybe you can, like, do a little better the next day.
You're listening to Basic Brown Nerds, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Basic Brown Nerds, this is Joy Valerie, and I have some really exciting news for you. We have launched our merch shop, so you can go to basicbrownnerds.com/shop and rep the Basic Brown Nerd movement. And this is one of the ways that we can keep making high-quality content and bring you Season 3. Yup, we are bringing Season 3 in 2020. And know that when you go to our shop, you're not just supporting us. You are not just supporting the production of this. 100% of the profits goes back into Basic Brown Nerd so that we can bring you more episodes, but also because I want to make all of the ideas that I have a reality, events, and keep bringing you awesome content that every time you listen or see Basic Brown Nerds, you know that these are people just like you, that in this time where people are talking so much crap about us, that you know that our community is strong, powerful, resilient, that we make things out of nothing. And to be honest, that's how we started Basic Brown Nerds almost 3 years ago. We started in front of a computer and just trying to figure it out. So if you've been listening since then, thank you so much. And when you shop from Basic Brown Nerds, you're not just supporting this, you are supporting local business, local Guatemalan-owned business right here in New York. So thank you, and feel free to reach out to us on social media at Basic Brown Nerds, and also to me at Joy Valerie with two E's on Instagram and Twitter. I am low-key addicted to social media. That's literally my career. I work in media. So I'm really excited to get to know you all, but also feel free to send me any opportunities, any ways to collaborate, to keep making this bigger and keep Basic Brown Nerds going. So see you next decade in 2020.
I think a lot of times people are telling like you, oh, you need to be strong. Like you need to keep going. You need to keep going. And it's like, you know, like sometimes you need to just let it go. Like you don't need to be strong all the time. Like you can just feel, you know, and you're just like, I am sad right now and I'm angry and I just need to let it all out. But yeah, it's hard. And I think that's like kind of going back to when you're saying like, you know, it's not fair to put all of that burden onto like a friend. Well, also, like, a friend might not know how to react to things like that. Or they might take it on to themselves and be like, oh, no, like, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, how come this person's feeling like that? How do I make them feel better? Like, you know? So I think that's why it's also important to go to a professional. But that being said, like, you know, especially given the state of our country right now, like, it's not always accessible for everyone to seek mental health services, to feel supported. Like, I started feeling depressed when I was about 15 years old, and I remember I told my mom, and I was like, I need to see a therapist, like, and my mom was like, no, like, what are you talking about, like, I grew up super evangelical, and they're like, no, it's like, my demonios, yeah, like, go pray, and then, I was just like, oh, shit, and then they were like, oh, we're gonna, like, pray, and, like, have an exorcism, and, like, yeah, it was, like, evil spirits,
oh my God.
So then I was like, oh, okay, so, like, clearly I can't tell anybody this, because they're gonna think I'm insane and possessed, so it was something kind of, like, I learned how to function, like, being depressed without showing anything. And people are like, but you're so happy all the time. And I'm just like, I'm melting inside, yeah. You know? And that was, like, really hard. And I think it turned, like, for me, I realized I kind of go through these peaks of, like, I'm extremely, extremely anxious and not dealing with it. And then kind of just, like, and, like, go into, like, extreme, like, you know, like, depressed because I'm just, like, I can't handle everything. Mm-hmm. So I think realizing that I need to, like, control, like, more of my anxiety before it lets it, like, lets it control me is like, a big part of it. And then, like, realizing, like, seasonal depression is, like, such a real thing. Like, I always feel it and I've always felt it. Especially, like, around, like, right around January and, like, right around April, too. Like, that weird in-between, like, spring. I also have bad allergies, so I just get, like, really sickly in general.
I didn't realize how exhausting the holidays were for me until, like, it's just, like, I love my family. But, like, they really don't understand any of these things. Like, they just, like... I don't know, like they just think, like, you always need to be polite, you always need to put on a good face, like, you always need to put everyone else above yourself, and, like, they don't even realize, like, how damaging that can be for you.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't even know if, like, other people in my family have dealt with any depression. Like, they're all also, like,
now maybe they just haven't talked about it.
Well, they're all very religious now. Mm-hmm. They're Catholic, and I feel like they deal with their problems through Jesus also and through praying, and they're like, oh, let's go to church. And I'm not really Catholic. Like, I mean, I grew up Catholic, but I don't consider myself Catholic. I don't go to church. It's like, it's not my thing anymore. And I feel like they don't accept it. Like, when I was, after my car accident, I really had a really big anxiety attack, and everyone was over at my house for my daughter's birthday, and, like, I feel like they thought, like, I just, like, literally started crying and couldn't stop, and I just went into my room and spent the rest of her birthday party.
Esa loca.
Yeah, I spent the rest of my birthday party in my room, and they all kept coming in, telling me, like, oh, just come out for a little bit, and I was like, just leave me alone, like, I want to be there for my daughter's birthday, but, like, you don't understand that, like, I literally can't. And, like, the fact that they expected for me to just, like, turn it off and, like, pretend that I was doing well and, like, go outside, like, they didn't understand what they were asking of me. And I also, like, just, like, really avoided social events with so many people throughout the year, because the idea of having to go somewhere and pretend to have a good time when I obviously wasn't doing well also was just, like, so anxiety-inducing for me. And it just, like, felt like, what? I can't do that, like, right now. Like, I can go somewhere and pretend I'm doing okay when I'm not. And I also don't want to go somewhere and be open and honest about it and, like, just, like, bring everyone down. So, like, for me, it was just better to stay away from people.
Like, as you're saying that, like, I'm wondering how many people are, like, are doing that, you know? Like, how many people are, like, I'm sure a ton of people are just like, okay, I just need to, like, save face, you know? Like, go out and do things. And I think that's another issue, that we don't talk about it. Because people, like, nobody wants to talk about, like, depression, you know? Like, and anxiety. They're just like, you're crazy. Like, there's such a stigma behind that. Like, people don't want to admit it. But, it was, like, depression and anxiety are normal human behaviors. Like, there's normal reaction. And I think the issue becomes when it becomes a disorder, you know? Like, when you can't control it anymore. You know, like, if you've lost someone, like, you might get depressed. Like, you are grieving. Like, that makes sense. Like, it's like, you know, if you're not sad and you're not upset, and that's probably another issue. Yeah, but, like, you know, like, it's how we grieve, and then we kind of sulk, and it's really hard to pull yourself out of that.
But people, like you said, people don't want to deal with that. Like, it was so funny at work. Like, so, like, my skin, like, cleared up after I started taking medication, and, like, people were like, you just, like, look so happy, and, like, your skin is glowing. Like, what are you doing? And I was like,
I'm on medication.
Yeah, I was like, I flipped my hair, and I was like, antidepressants. And people, like, thought it was funny, but I was like, yeah, like, it kind of is funny, but, like, it's also true. Like, you know? And, like, you know, thankfully, like, some of my coworkers, like, they kind of got it. And, like, other people that, like, for, like, that were asking me, like, they were like, oh. And it was like, oh, like, is this too real for you? Like, were you expecting me to be like, oh, I'm just eating more vegetables? Like, what the hell? Like,
right.
It's just, Like, that's, like, the thing that people don't understand. It's, like, they, like, so many people don't even think that this is a thing for people. That, right. Like, when you're honest, like, they don't even know how to deal with it. Or they're, like, oh, you're depressed? And it's, like, yeah, like.
But you're always happy. And you're smiling.
It's, like, yeah, do you want me to be crying every day? Because I could, but I'm not going to do that either. Right. Like, I'm at work.
Right.
And I did. Well, actually, I was, like, at the cafeteria getting myself coffee at work, and one of my coworkers came up to me. He's, like, how are you doing? And I just started crying. Yeah, poor coworker. Like, he was just, like, what did I do? And I was, like, you didn't do anything. But I was, like, it was one of those moments.
It smells really good.
No, it was just one of those moments where, like, the day before I had tried to tell a friend, and this is maybe why you shouldn't always go to your friends. Like, I had tried to tell a friend what I was feeling, and his response to me was like, oh, well, maybe you just, like, need to get more organized, and you need to, like, get your shit together. And I was like, but you don't understand, like, I'm a single mother, and I have a full-time job, and I'm dealing with this stuff, and I'm dealing with that stuff, and, like, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I am dealing with it, like, I am being organized, but sometimes, like, it actually is too much for one person to deal with. Like, I have the right to feel overwhelmed every once in a while. Like, it's a problem if I let it get to me every single day to the point where I can't function. But, like, mm-hmm. I feel like every once in a while, like, we all have that moment where we just, like, need to fall apart in order to put ourselves back together. Like, we just, right. like, need to go through that process of falling apart, having a shitty day, and then putting ourselves back together. And, like, he made me feel like I didn't have the right to do that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, like, carried over to the next day where, like, I still wasn't doing well. And then I just, like, felt like I was failing at everything. And then I just started crying, literally, like, in the middle of pouring myself coffee in front of everyone. And I was really bad. Like, that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of, like, a red flag. Okay, I'm not doing well right now.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know what you're saying, like, you know, you have to, like, let yourself fall apart. I think that's, like, maybe, like, for someone, like, for falling apart, like, you didn't do anything drastic, you know?
Like, you just need to cry in your heart, maybe.
Letting yourself feel. I think that's, like, another important thing. Like, sometimes, like, I would just be like, no, I have to be happy. I have to be happy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, all of a sudden, it was just like, I'm not happy! And just, like, would melt down. And I think that's another thing, like, letting ourselves be upset and sad and not always, like, having to be happy and, like, having to be optimistic. Like, sometimes you are allowed to, like, be sad, and I think, like, letting yourselves feel those, like, little moments avoids the, like, piling up and, like, bottling up to the point that you explode, you know? So I think, like, letting yourself just be upset and be frustrated,
and we can't be perfect.
Let yourself not be perfect.
And also, yes, like, sometimes we may say or do things that we regret, and, like, we have to take responsibilities for those things, because that's, like, a important part of taking care of ourselves, is that we want to make sure that we're not in the process of neglecting ourselves. We neglect other people around us, or hurt our friends. And so we have to take responsibility of that. And, like, as a parent, like, I have a child to take care of, and if I'm not doing well, then that can affect her, you know? Like, I know that I, like, now that I look back, now that I'm doing better, I'm like, I definitely was not as patient with her. I definitely just didn't have the energy to, you know, say, like, oh, let's play, let's do this, let's do that. Like, I didn't have the energy to do all of those things that, you know, like, the year before, every Saturday we were doing, like, breakfast by the lake. Like, there's a lake 20 minutes from my house, and then we would go buy a bagel and, like, go hang out by the lake, and that was, like, so nice. But then, like, this past year, like, I just didn't have the energy to get up and go somewhere, even if it was just, like, lay down by the lake on a blanket. Like, it was just, everything felt like one more thing to do, and everything just felt overwhelming. And, you know, now that I'm doing better, I'm like, I kind of feel guilty about that time that I wasn't performing at my best. But then at the same time, I have to, like, be forgiving of myself, because, you know, I had to, at that time, I was trying to take care of my physical health. I was going to physical therapy. I was working. I was trying to get a bunch of other stuff going. And I was also just, by the time I got home, I had no energy to do any exercise, to go for a walk, to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's so much easier said than done.
Yes. And so now I'm
like,
trying
to, like, you do feel great afterwards, but it's just, like, getting to it.
Yes.
It's so hard.
But it's, like, I mean, I'm, like, an active, like, year, literally the year before that, I was, like, running 3 times a week. I was hiking every weekend. Like, And to go from that to not being able to do anything, like, there was, like, a part of me that felt like, I'm feeling this way because I'm not exercising, and I'm not exercising because I'm not putting in enough effort. Right. But I wasn't realizing,
not
like,
getting
how
those endorphins.
How like, not, I was hard. Just, I was just not well.
Right.
And that's why I couldn't do it. And sometimes, like, we just assume that we're failing or that we're being right. awful people. But sometimes, like, you just... Like, I kind of feel like I lost a year of my life to being, like, depressed, but I also know that I can't think of it like that. Like, I have to just move on and, like, take care of myself and not feel bad or guilty about it anymore, because that's only going to make it worse. Like, I just need to focus on where I am now and what I can do now and hopefully try to prevent it. But if it happens again, I have to remember that it's not a personal failing of mine. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we're having, like, discussions like this. And, like, for anyone listening that might feel this way, knowing that, like, they're not abnormal, you know? Like, I think I'm pretty open about, like, anxiety and depression. And every time, even people that I know, right, mm-hmm. would reach out to me and was just like, hey, I've felt like this before. Like, people that I wouldn't expect. And I think that, like, something powerful starts to happen when you talk about things that are very taboo, that you think people don't experience, that you think you're, like, the only one in the world, mm-hmm. that, like, you start to listen and you're just like, wait, like, it's not just me. And then you kind of feel, like, a little bit less alone and, like, a little bit less crazy.
Yeah.
And you're not crazy, but that's the thing. Like, it's something that we as a society just don't talk about as much as we should be.
Thanks for listening, and good luck to everyone out there. It's hard out there right now.
This is, like, a tough conversation. So thanks for sticking through.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to Basic Brown Nerds.